Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Lamed Zayin. Where Reinu left off yesterday, daf Lamed Vav Amabez. He actually ended probably about five lines up from the bottom of the page. We're going to back up a little bit to Iboy Lehu, just because he left off in the middle of a discussion. So we're going to start 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amabez. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Michael and Ellen Weichselbaum, Lezecha Nishmas, their dear friend, George Klein, Ben Sion, Ben Avram Yosef, his neshama should have, and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for their sponsorship of the daf. So today we are going to cover two primary topics. We're going to cover first the topic of Prusbol, which is going to take up the bulk of the discussion today. We already started that discussion of Prusbol yesterday, the mechanics of Prusbol, why we were metakin Prusbol, how exactly the Prusbol works. We're going to get into all of those details today. What the meaning of the word Prusbol means is what we're going to discuss today, whether Prusbol works for all sorts of loans or only for loans that are a milveh bishtar as opposed to a milveh alpeh. We're going to talk about the concept of moser shtaros of lebeistin, somebody who just tells beistin, you guys are authorized to collect my loan on my behalf. Is that the functional equivalent of a prosbul? Do yesomim need a prosbul, or are all of their chovos deemed given over to beistin? So that's what we're going to talk about over most of the daf, including whether if a person lends somebody else money and then takes collateral and he's holding that collateral, does that person need a prosbul? Or is it considered as if he has already collected his loan in a sense because he is holding on to the collateral? And that's gonna that discussion is going to carry until the Mishnah in the middle of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah that talks about what happens if you have an Eved who was captured and then somebody redeems him. And does the Eved have to work for the person who redeemed him? Does the Eved have to work for the first master? Does the Eved go free? And we're going to talk about this this topic as well, because we're now in the sugya of Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, of the various takanas that were made because of Tikkun HaOlam. So again, most of the topic today is going to be about Prusbol. At the back half of this year, we're going to talk just for a few minutes about the concept of one who is Poda and Eved, who was taken captive. So again, we left off, or the rabbi left off yesterday, 11 lines up, on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis at Iboilu. That's where we're going to start from. So Iboilu, we had refers to Prusbol as Ulbana Dedaina. So we didn't know what the word Ulbana meant. So the question that the Gemara is asking is, Hai Ulbana Lishna the Chutzpahu o Lishna the Nichusahu? Is Ulbana a Lashon of Chutzpah, meaning that Lahalacha Minadin, the Halacha is that Shemitah is Meshameit all Chovos, that Shemitah causes all Chovos to be suspended? So really, the chovo shouldn't be collected. However, the chachamim were metakin prusbul, so that if you write what's called a prusbul, then you're allowed to collect your loan even after the Shemitah year. So ulbana, is that considered to be like a chutzpah, like the dayanim are, not violating, but the dayanim are showing you a way to run around, to make an end run around what the halacha would be on a deraisa level? Or is it a lashon of convenience? Why would it be a lashon of convenience? It's convenience, says Rashi, because if there were not the takana of Prusbol, then what would happen? Everybody would know that when Shemitah comes, it's meshameit their chobos, it's going to suspend all their chobos. So before Shemitah, everybody would run and they would go collect their chobos, and it would be a very busy period for the dayanim. So in order to avoid the rush on Batei Din before Shemitah, the Dayanim, the Chachamim, rather, were metakin Prusbol, so now there's no rush before Shemitah, because everybody knows they don't have to collect before Shemitah, they could collect after Shemitah, because the Shemitah is not going to be Meshameit the Chov. So the Gemara brings a Raya, Satoshma, Diyamar Ula, Aluva, Kala, Shazinso, Vecheref, Kupasa, that the Kala, who is Mezaneh, right after her Chuppah, is a disgrace. She is an Aluva, and Rashi says, this is referring to, of course, the Cheda Egel. The Cheda Egel happened on the heels of Matan Torah, the experience of Matan Torah, when Klal Yisrael got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. It's as if there was a nisuin, there's an allegory, it's as if there was a marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So right after the wedding between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael received the Torah, they went and they had an affair, kaviyachol, when they worshipped the Egel. And in that context, we use the Lashon of Aluva. So obviously, Aluva is a Lashon of Chutzpah. That's an incredible act of Chutzpah. And Amar Amari, Barad Bashmuel, so Amari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel says, Mikra, what's the pasuk that serves as a raya that Aluva is a lashon of chutzpah? Acha melech b'mesibo nardi nasan recho. That while the melech is still in the party, celebrating the wedding, celebrating the chasana, the perfume is still giving off a smell. So meaning something is something smells wrong over here. And Amar Rava, but says Rava, dayin chavivusahu gabon. It's still this pasuk, even though it's talking about the disgrace of Klal Yisrael, the chutzpah that Klal Yisrael had, that right after Matan Torah, they still went and they worshipped the Egel. Still, it's this pasuk shows the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. How so? Duksiv nasan recho veloksiv hisriach. Because really what it could have said is that right after Klal Yisrael got the Torah, their perfume is like still in the air, but it stinks because they went and they started worshiping the Egel right away. But it doesn't say Yisriach, it says Nasan, which shows that even when we were acting in an untoward manner toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't totally forsake us, that he doesn't view us as totally repulsive, rather he allows us to come back and to do tshuva. Tosfa says, well, what I really have thought that the pasuk would say hisriach recho. I thought there's a concept of lashon nakia, that the pasuk always talks in a lashon nakia, the chachamim always talk in a lashon nakia. So would we really expect the pasuk to say hisriach, that it's repugnant, that it's repulsive, and that it's spoiled? So it says Tosfos, no, maybe it wouldn't have said hisriach, but it wouldn't have said nosan recho. It would have said ozav recho, meaning that everybody's still in the hall, everybody's still in the wedding hall, celebrating the wedding rather. However, one of the parties of the wedding, their perfume is no longer there because now they've gone and they've gone to commit an act of adultery with the zona. So it didn't have to say nasan; it could have said azav, but it didn't, and that shows ichavivas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. So again, what this shows us is that the word ulbana is a lashon of chutzpah. And the principle was called Ulbana Dedaina. We have another raya, Tana Rabbanan. Now, a famous mimer, Hane'lovim ve'enon olvim, those who suffer insult but don't insult back in return. Shomen charpasan ve'meshivin, those who hear their shame and they don't respond. In other words, they just take their lumps and they don't have to respond. Osin me'ahava v'smechem b'yisurin, those who perform mitzvahs out of ahava and are happy when they receive yisurin. Aleim ha'kosavomer v'ovav k'seish Hashem es k'vuraso. B'gvuraso, that those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're as mighty as the sun in all of its might. And again, this is another raya that aluva means chutzpah, that those who receive chutzpah but don't respond in kind, they're very, very strong of character, because a person's inclination is to respond to others the way he's treated, but if this person conquers his yesahara, then it shows he's very strong. Why is this person likened to the Shemesh? So the Meiri points out that this is a reference to the Gemara in Chulin that talks about the fight that the moon had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that initially when the moon was created, the Gemara tells us the moon was the same size as the sun. But the moon complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's only room here for one boss. There's no room in Shemayim for two celestial bodies of equal size. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, there's no room for two celestial bodies of equal size. I'm going to make you smaller and the sun is going to remain the same size. So the reason that the moon was diminished in size is because the moon opened up its mouth and complained. The sun was silent. The sun didn't say anything about the fact that there were two celestial bodies of equal size. Therefore, a person who takes his lumps, a person who takes his insults and doesn't respond in kind is likened to the sun. Says the Gemara now, two lines up from the bottom of Lamed Vav Mabesa, my Prusbul, what does Prusbul mean? Some Rav Chista, Prusbuli Ubuti. It's a takana for both the Aniyim and the Ashirim. How do we know that Buli Ubuti are Ashirim and Aniyim? So Buli, turning to Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, is Elu Ashirim. Those are the rich people. Dechsiv, Ishavarti es Gaon Uzchem. And I shall break the pride of your might. And what is this pasuk referring to? V'tani Rav Yosef elu bulo shabi Yehuda. These are the rich people of Yehuda. So from there I know bulos, buli is a lashon of ashirim. Buti, how do I know that buti is a lashon of aniyim? Elu aniyim, these are the aniyim. D'chsev ha'avet ta'avitenu. Because when the pasuk talks about the mitzvah of loaning somebody money, it says ha'avet ta'avitenu. Who requires money? It's poor people. And therefore, buti from the lashon of ta'avitenu, ha'avet ta'avitenu, are the poor people. The prosbul is a takana for the rich people and the poor people. For the rich people, obviously, because they're able to collect their money, and Shemitah does not suspend their chovos. For the poor people, it's a takana because of the prosbul, the ashirim are more likely to want to loan money to the aniyim, and they are not going to be nervous that they will never get their money back. So therefore, it's mutually beneficial both to the aniyim and to the ashirim. Says the Gemara Vayter, my prosbul, so what is prosbul? Another drush on the word prosbul, so Amar Pursa de Milsa. It's an adjustment of the thing. In other words, there was a problem. The problem was people weren't lending money because Shemitah would suspend all of the chobos. So came the Chachamim, they made a takana. Basically, it's a takana in order to ensure that people would still loan other people money. So I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Well, says Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yisomim ain't zrichin prosbol. We're talking about Yisomim Katanim. They don't require a prosbol. V'chein Tani Rami Bar Chama, Yisomim ain't zrichin prosbol. Rami Bar Chama also says that Yisomim don't require a prosbol. Why? The Rav Gamliel ubeis dino avien shel Yisomim, because Rav Gamliel and his beis din are considered to be the av of the Yisomim. They are considered to guard over all of the assets of the Yisomim, meaning that if God forbid there's a yasom, then the yasom, it's as if he's moser shtaros of lebeisin. It's as if he gives over a shtaros to basin. And again, why is moser shtaros of lebeisin not a problem? Because the whole idea of Shemitah is that Shemitah is supposed to be meshameh techobos, and there's an isser of lo yigosh, that you're not allowed to pursue your friend and bother him for repayment of the loan after Shemitah. But if there's a prosbul, you don't have to, there's no isser of lo yigosh, because you have the prosbul. You could say, hey, you pay me back. Shemitah was never mishamit. Similarly, if you're Moses Shorosa of Lebeistin, Beistin is in charge of collecting your loans. You're not personally responsible for collecting your loans, therefore there's not going to be an issue of lo yigosh. And the Yisomim, because Beistin functionally is in charge of all of their assets, there's no isser of lo yigosh as well. The Tumim asks, what isser of lo yigosh would the Yisomim possibly be subject to? We said that we were talking about Yisomim Ketanim. The Ketanim are not mechuyev in mitzvahs. And therefore, if the Katan were to pursue his borrower and try to get the loan back, try to get the loan repaid, it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem anyway. So why do we say that, oh, the reason that they could collect is because it's as if it's Moser Shoros of Lebeisin, so they're not going to violate the Isser of Le'igosh? These are Ketanim. They're not going to violate the Isser anyway. So the Minchas Chinuch says that no. That Shemitah is not only a mitzvah, it's not only a mitzvah, rather, it's not only that there's an Isser of Lo-Yigosh, and therefore Shemitah is Meshameh Techovos, because you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Lo-Yigosh, says the Minchas Chinuch, Shemitah is Meshameh Techovos automatically. So in other words, it's not a question of, oh, is the person mechuyev in mitzvahs or is the person not mechuyev in mitzvahs? Even if you're not mechuyev in mitzvahs, meaning even if you wouldn't actually violate the Isra of Lo-Yigosh if you try to get your loan repaid, Shemitah memela is meshameh techovos. And therefore, we need a reason as to why these Yisomim will be able to collect their loan after Shemitah. Usually for an adult, the reason that you're allowed to collect your loan after Shemitah is because you have a prosbul. The reason that the Yisomim are able to collect their loan is because of Moser Shtarosov Lebeistin. The other answer that some of the Achronim gave is because, let's say the loan is a really long-term loan, and let's say the loan spans more than one Shemitah. So maybe you're right that when there's still Ketanim, you don't need the reason of Moser Shtarosov Lebeistin, because at that point, they're not mechuyev in mitzvahs. But let's say there's another Shemitah, and now they're gedolim, but they're going to forget to write a prosbul because the loan was issued so long ago. Therefore, you need the reason that it's Moser Shtarosov Lebeistin, and that's why Shemitah is not going to be mishamet. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Tanan Hasam, that we learn in the Mishnah as follows. In Kosvin Prusbul Ela Ala Karka, we only write a Prusbul if the Loveh has karka. And why do we only write a peruzbul if the lov has karka? So Rashi explains, because it is only the derech of a malve to lend money to a love, it is only the derech to loan people money when they have karka to serve as collateral. Why? Because if they don't have any karka to serve as collateral, the loan is going to be too risky, because everybody knows it's easier to issue somebody, it's easier to get a mortgage than to get an unsecured line of credit, because if you have a mortgage, it's secured by collateral. If you have an unsecured line of credit, it's not secured by collateral. Because the takana of Prozbul is a takana based in only made the takana in a milsa de shchiche, in a situation in which it would be usual to loan somebody money. The other issue, the other reason, say the Achronim, why they were mitakim Prozbul ala karka, is because again we're trying to thread the needle here. Really, midaraisa shmita's meshame shmita suspends all chobos. Came the Chachamim and they were mitakim Prozbul and says, don't worry, you could still collect. Why only if there is collateral? Why only if the lova has karka? So the reason might be because if the lova has karka, then it's as if that collateral is already collected. In other words, the problem is lo yigosh. The problem is that you're not supposed to pursue the debtor for repayment of the loan, and you're not supposed to harass the debtor in that way for repayment. If you have collateral that's sitting there, you don't have to harass him. You could just go collect the collateral. So that's why they were mitakim Prozbul only if the borrower has karka to serve as collateral. And says the Gemara, em einlo mezakeh b'toch sadeh kolshu, that if, let's say, the lova doesn't have collateral, but the lova is in desperate need of money, so the lender wants, the malve wants to lend the lova money, he wants to do a mitzvah. But the lender doesn't have collateral, but the malve is not willing to allow his chov to be suspended on Shemitah. So the malve could be mezake, he could give over a little bit of his karka to the lova, thus the lova has karka. Thus, the Prozbul will work. V'kama kolshu, how much is a kolshu? Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav Afilu Klach Shel Kruv. Even just the cabbage stalk is enough karka in order to write the Prozbul on. How does this concept of mezake karka mezake betok shodeu kolshu work? So the Ran says that this works midin zichui, that this works from the din of zochin la adam that you're allowed to be mezake something to somebody, you're allowed to give somebody something that he benefits from, even if he's not there. So says the Ran, from here we have a raya that when we apply the concept of zochin l'adam shelo b'fanav, we look only at that specific transaction. We don't look at the broader picture. Why? Says the Ran, because if we look at the broader picture, what's happening is, because he has karka, now there's going to be a Prozbul, and because it's a Prozbul, you're going to be able to collect your loan after Shemitah. So it's a raya that we look only at the individual specific transaction, and not at the collateral effects of the transaction. Other Rishonim say, no, you do look at the collateral effects, and yes, of course, now the malve can collect the loan after Shemitah, but because the malve can collect the loan after Shemitah, that's why he's willing to lend you the money in the first place. So the whole thing is actually a zechus for him. So again, right now we're saying that the only time that the chachamim were mitakim Prozbul is where the borrower has karka. He's got to have at least a kolshu of karka, the size of a cabbage stalk. So Amar Rav Yehuda, afilu ishilu makom letanu lecharayim, Kosvin alav Prozbul. Even if the malve loaned the borrower in the malve's own field, in the malve's own yard, space to keep a tanner and karayim, space to keep an oven, then you're allowed to write the malve a Prozbul on that little zchus and karka that the borrower has. Says the Gemara, Eini v'atani hilal, ein kosvin Prozbul ela alotzas nakav bavad, that you're only allowed to write a Prozbul if the borrower has an otzitz nakav, of like a perforated flower pot, so the flower pots, so the flowers in the flower pot are being yonek from the karka, nokovin, shein lock of low, that the only, so the diuk is that the only time you write a Prozbul is if it's an otzitz nokov, where there's a connection to the land. If it's an otzitz shein a nokov, where there is no collection to the land, then low, then you don't write a Prozbul on that little thing that's standing in the field. But says the Gemara, amai va'ika makomo, but there is the makom where the atzah shein anakav is. If you're going to tell me that you're allowed to write a Prozbul even where the lova has a schus to put his oven in the malvis field, as if the lova has a schus to put his non-perforated flower pot in the malvis field, why is that any different? You should still be able to write a prosbul on that little piece of karka. So says the Gemara, so the reason is, lo tzricha d'mana chasichi, because the issue is that the non-perforated flower pot is standing on pegs. Meaning, the reason that you're allowed to write a prosbul where you allow the borrower to put his oven in your field is because his oven is sitting on the ground and actually takes up space. However, the non-perforated flower pot, if it's not physically resting on the ground, if it's standing on pegs, then it's not really taking up any space in the karka. Some Rishonim say the pegs belong to the malveh. That's the problem. If the pegs belong to the loveh, then even the pegs would satisfy this requirement of land. Others say no, that the pegs aren't even as big as the kelach shel kruv. And the Gemara just told us that the field, that the size of land that the borrower has to maintain in order to write a prosbul for him has to be at least a kelach shel kruv. Rav Ashi makni lo gidma dedikla. Rav Ashi was makne a borrower a palm stump for kosev alei prosbul, and on the basis of the lova having a palm stump in the malvas field, he would write a prosbul. Rabbanan debe Rav Ashi masri milay ladadi. The Rabbanan debe Rav Ashi would be moser milim to each other. What does it mean moser milim? In other words, Rashi says they wouldn't write a prosbul, but they would say to each other verbally before shmita, Hare atem beis din v'chovi maser lechem legvosa kol zman she'ertzeh, that you guys are my beis din, I'm deputizing you as my beis din, and therefore I'm going to be able to collect my chov whenever I want. Rav Yochanan Moser Milim to Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Yochanan was Moser Milim to Rav Chiya Bar Abba. He verbally designated him as a basin, and therefore was like Moser Shtarosov LeBasin. And Amar Leit, Shrich Lamidi Achrine, after he was Moser Shtarosov Baal Peh, he said, do I need anything else? Do I need to do anything? Meaning, do I need to also write a prosbul in addition to being Moser Shtarosov LeBasin? Amar Leit, Lo Tzriches, no, you don't need to do anything else. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Lo Karka, let's say the Lovet doesn't have any karka. So we had said that the only time that you're allowed to write a prosbul is if the lova has karka, because the lova doesn't have karka, it's a milsa de lo shchicha, milsa lo shchicha lo gazor bei rabbanan. Let's say the lova doesn't have karka, but ula orev yesh lo karka. This is not a regular way loan, there's also a guarantor. The guarantor does have karka. So the borrower doesn't have karka, but the guarantor has karka. Kosfen ala prosbul, then you're still allowed to write a prosbul. Why? Because even though the borrower doesn't have karka, still the guarantor has karka, and therefore it's still a milsa deshchicha, because even though the borrower himself doesn't have karka, the malveh would still, with confidence, lend money to the borrower if there's a guarantor who does have a piece of karka. Says the Gemara, lo ula arev ein lo karka, it's a real quality guarantor, that he doesn't have karka either, nor does the borrower have karka, ulechayev yesh lo karka. However, there is another guy who owes money to the borrower, who does have karka. There are some say that he owes money to the guarantor, but it doesn't make a difference. So there's another person who owes money to the borrower, let's just say it like that, who does have karka. So kosven ala prosbul, you still write a prosbul, why mid Rav Nelson? This is the famous shibuda de Rav Nelson. The Tanya, Rav Nelson Omer, minayin lenosha b'chaviro mane b'chaviro b'chaviro. If somebody has a claim, Reuven has a claim against Shimon, Shimon has a claim against Levi, because Levi owes Shimon money, Shimon knows Reuven money. Minayin shemetziyem izev v'nosim lezeh, tamalomer v'nasan l'asher asham lo. That you're allowed to go directly to the person that you're allowed to go directly to the person who owes money at the end of the line. So meaning that if Reuven let's keep the hypothetical consistent. If Levi owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Reuven money, then Reuven is allowed to go to Levi, to the indirect borrower, in other words, to the ultimate borrower of his borrower or debtor of his debtor, and say, oh, you owe me money. So Levi, you would think, should be able to say to Reuven, I don't even know who you are. But he can't, because this is Shibuda de Rav Nelson. Because Levi owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Reuven money, it gives Reuven his chus to go over to Levi directly and say, you owe me money. That's Shibuda de Rav Nelson. And therefore, even if the borrower doesn't have any karka, but somebody who owes money to the borrower has karka, that's going to be good enough to write a prosbul. Says the Gemara of Eiter, Tanan Hasam, Ashvius, Meshametes, Asamilva, Bein Bishtar, Bein Shalob Bishtar. That Shvius is Meshame Techov, meaning unless there's a prosbul, whether it's a Milva Bishtar, whether it's a Milva Alpeh. Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu, Rav Shmuel say, Bishtar, Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayis Nechasim. That when we say Milva Bishtar, it means a Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayis Nechasim, meaning that there is collateral. Shelo Bishtar, when we refer to a Milva Shelo Bishtar, we're not referring to a Milva Al Peh, we're referring to a Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayis Nechasim. We're referring to a Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayis Nechasim where there is no collateral. And Kolshkein Milva Al Peh. And certainly, if there is a milva alpeh, shvius is going to be meshamet the chov. Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Lakish, Damri Tavaya, Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Lakish, however, say, Bishtar, Shtar Sheim Bo Achrayis Nechasim. Nah, when we say that Shemitah's Meshamet Chovos, if there's a Shtar, it's only a Shtar Sheim Bo Achrayis Nechasim. It's only a Shtar without collateral. This is holding, obviously, like the Shita and Meseches Baba Metzia, that Achrayis is Lav to a Sofer. There is a Machlokas in Meseches Baba Metzia. If you have a Shtar Halva, and the Shtar Halva doesn't mention a grant of collateral, do we assume the fact that the shtar doesn't mention a grant of collateral is a mistake or not? Like, do we assume that people only lend on security, and therefore, even though there is no reference to the grant of collateral in the shtar, we take it for granted that there is a grant of collateral or not? This Mandiyamar holds, obviously, that Achrayis Lav to a Sofer, because we are referring to the situation where there could be a shtar where there is no Achrayis Nechasim. So shtar means shtar she'en bo Achrayis Nechasim. Shelo b'shtar, mil v'al peh. Shelo b'shtar means what it sounds like, which is a mil v'al peh. Aval shtar she'esh bo Achrayis Nechasim, ein meshamet. However, shtar she'esh bo Achrayis Nechasim, even without a prudbul, if there's collateral, it's not going to be meshamet. Again, the reason that it's not going to be meshamet is because the whole reason that Shemitah is meshamet chobos is because there's an isra of lo yigosh, that you're not allowed to pursue your debtor for money. However, if you're holding collateral, you don't have to pursue him for money because the collateral is right there. You could just take it. Tanya kabatzi d'Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon ben Lakish, shtar chov meshamet, that a shtar chov is meshamet, vim yesh ba achrayis nechasim, eina meshamet, but if there is achrayis nechasim, then it's eina meshamet, because, as Rashi says, it's as if it's already collected if there's collateral. Tanya idach, siyim lo sada achas balvoso, eina meshamet, that if the lova designated a specific piece of property as collateral, then certainly the loan is not going to be meshamet, because it's as if it's already collected, because there's this security that's been granted. That even if you just give like a blanket lien, like an all assets lien, it's still not meshamet. So why would I think it would be meshamet? L'chora, getting an all asset lien is always better than just having recourse to a certain piece of property. Says Rashi, yeah, but the all asset lien is like the infamous open invitation. Like, if I invite you to my house for this Shabbos, that's a real invitation. If I say, oh, come anytime you want, not such a real invitation. Meaning, if there is a mortgage and the mortgage is secured by a specific piece of property, the lender knows where he's going to collect the loan from, right? He's going to go right to that collateral. Whereas if it's an all assets lien, there's not any designated piece of property as collateral, so it's a little bit more wishy-washy. Still, it's not going to be meshamet, says the Gemara. Krave the Ravasi, Avalu Hushtara, the relatives of Ravasi had a shtar, Davi Kosabe Achrayas Nechasim, that Achrayas Nechasim was written in, there was security. Also, Lakame the Ravasi, they came before Ravasi, Amarle Meshame Toena Meshame. They said, here, I have a shtar, Sheeshbo Achrayas Nechasim, we don't have a prosbul, Ishmita Meshame the loan or not. Amarle Ena Meshame. He said, no, because in accordance with the mimer that we just learned, that if there's specific collateral, the loan is not going to be Meshame. Shavke, Velsa Lakame the Ravi Yochanan, they left, and they left Ravasi and they went to Rav Yochanan. Amar lei meshamet, and Rav Yochanan said that Shemitah is meshamet, even though there's a grant of collateral. Also Ravasi lekamet Rav Yochanan. So Ravasi, how Ravasi was able to be done this when the kasha was approached to relatives, kasha, right? He was an agayah bedover, but Ravasi then went to Rav Yochanan and was like, why are you arguing with my psak? Amar lei meshamet, oena meshamet. Amar lei meshamet. He said meshamet. V'amaru d'amar ena meshamet. But we just had a brisa where you said that if the loan is secured by a specific piece of collateral, then it's not going to be meshamet. Now my relatives come and they ask you a question, halacha lemaisa. They had a loan, it was secured by a piece of collateral, and you tell them, meshamet, that shmit is meshamet. What's going on? Amar lei v'chimim neshanim adam and nasa maisa, because I think al pisvara, that the chov should not be meshamet. If there's collateral, does that mean that I should actually paskin that way, la halacha? The Rishonim explain that it could be that that he held, the Rabbi Yochanan held, that Shemitah B'zman Hazeh is Midaraisa, and he was really Mesupuk whether the Chov is Meshamet or not, and therefore he was Machmir in a position of Safeg, or it could be because of Amotzi Mechaveru Olav Arai, and he was just a little bit uncertain what the actual Halacha is. Amar Leva, Tani Kavase Demar, but we had a Brisa like you. Why are you so uncertain? Amar Le, Dilmai Beishamai. Maybe that Brisa was holding like Beishamai, Dumar Shtaro Med Ligvos Kagovi Dummy, that Beishamai actually holds that a Shtaro Med Ligvos, it's the Shtar which stands to be collected, it's as if it's already collected. So according to that Shita, that Shtaro Med Ligvos is Kagovi Dummy, yeah, then if there's collateral, your money good, don't worry about it. But otherwise, if it's considered as if it's lacking collection, then you're going to violate the Isra of Lo Yigosh if you actually try to collect it. Tananasam, about five lines up from where the lines get wide. So Amalves Kaver Mos Alamashkon, that if a person lends money to his friend and has collateral, Vamosa Chiros of Lebasin, and a person who gives over all of his chovos to Basin, ain't Mishamtin, Shemitah is not going to be Mishamet those chovos, Bishlam Amosa Chiros of Lebasin, the Tafsilu Beidina, because Basin can collect. Elamalva Lamashkon, but if a person lends money and there's collateral, my time, why isn't Shemitah Mishamet? I'm a Rava Misham, the toughest lay, says Rava, because he holds it. Meaning, and Rashi says, and he doesn't have to be nogeshim. He doesn't have, there's no Isra of Lo Yigosh, because you don't have to pursue the borrower in order to get paid back, because you have the collateral. So Amar Le'abaye, Elameyato, Alveyo V'dar B'chatzero, but in that case, if the Malve lends the Love money, and the Love lets the Malve rent part of his house. So the Malve is living in the Love's house. So Elveo V'dar B'chatzero, the toughest lay, Hachanami D'lom Hashamet, where basically the Malve always sees the Love, so he's not going to violate Lo Yigosh, because he doesn't have to go pursue the Love in order to ask for his Chov to be repaid. Is Shemitah not going to be Meshamet there? Of course it's going to be Meshamet there. Says the Gemara, Amar Le, Shani Mashkan D'Kani Le. It's not only that he's not going to have to pursue him in order to get his loan paid back. It's as if the loan is already repaid, because even though he doesn't have the money, he has the mashkon, and he's kone the mashkon. How do we know that he's kone the mashkon? Midir Rabbi Yitzchak, from the famous shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Dem Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin l'balchov shekone mashkon. How do we know that a balchov is kone mashkon? Shenemar l'chot yet staka. That if you return the mashkon to the ani, then it's going to be at staka. Emeinu kone at staka minayin. If you don't own the mashkon, why is it such a big tzedakah if you give it back to the love? Mikan l'balchov shekone mashkon. Okay, from there we know that a balchov is kone the mashkon. Says the Gemara Naviter, flipping to Lamed Zayin of a base. Tanan Hasam. So Amachzer Chov Lechavera B'Shvias. If a person does try to pay his friend back on Shvias, Rashi says, what does it mean on Shvias? It means after Shemitah. Why? Because Shemitah is Meshamet Besof. That Shemitah is Meshamet at the end of the year. So if a person tried to repay the Chov during the Shemitah year, you would have to pay the Chov back, because Shemitah is only Meshamet at the end. But let's say Shemitah passes, then you try to repay your friend. Tzorek Sheyomer Lo Meshamet Ani. The friend has to say, Meshamet Ani, I forgive the loan. V'amar lo afal pikein, and if the Malva says, oh, nevertheless, in other words, the game that they play is the borrower goes to the lender and tries to pay back. The lender says, Meshamet ani, no, don't worry, I don't need to be paid back. The borrower says, no, nevertheless, even though Shemitah's Meshamet, I still want to pay you back. And if he says, Afal Pikein, Yikavale Menu, then the Malva can receive the money. The Malva can collect the Chob. Shenemar, Vezed, Dvar Hashmita. This is the Dvar Hashmita. That this is the Dvar Hashmita. And it's all totally on Dibor. In other words, that this is an allusion to the fact that when the borrower tries to pay the lender back, the lender should say Meshamatani, and then the borrower should say Afal Pikein, nevertheless, I want to pay you back. Amar Rabba V'toli Le Adam Arhachi, and we actually force the Love until he says Afal Pikein. Then that's what Rashi says, that li yitlenu al eitz im gavra yado ad yamar le afal pikein. We could literally force the guy until he says Afal Pikein. Says the Rosh, if we're forcing the Love to say Afal Pikein, isn't that an Isser? That's the Isser of Lo Yigosh. That is the prototypical Isser of pursuing your friend in order to make him pay back the loan. And therefore, the Rosh says, it doesn't literally mean that we hang him on a tree. What tola doesn't mean hang him on a tree. Tola means we give him like the stink eye. In other words, we look at him and we embarrass him until he wants to pay back his loan. Memela says the Gemara now four lines down from the top. And then after Shemitah, if they do this whole charade, if they do this whole act, then the Lova shouldn't say, oh, I'm paying you back in satisfaction on my loan. Elo yomer lo shalien b'matana ni nosen l'cha. You should say, oh, it's my money, and I'm giving it back to you as a matana. Amar le tali le nami adi amar hachi, that we actually force him or pressure him, according to the Rosh, until he actually says this. Abba Bamarta Davi Abba Bamanyumi. Abba Bamarta Havi Masik Bei Rabba Zuze. He owed Rabba money. Asinun Ale Bishvias. He came to him after Shvias. We have to touch up like we did up top. And Amar Le Meshametani. And Rabba said, no, I forgive the loan. Shaklinu Viyazel. So Abba Bamanyumi said, oh, great. Rabba forgave the loan. And he went back home. So Asa Abaya Ashkei Davi Atzev. So Abaya came and saw that Rabba was very sad. So Amar Le Amai Atzev Mar. Why are you so sad? Amar Le Achi Ave Maisa. Because the guy came to repay me. I said, oh, Meshamitani, and he just walked away. He went home. He didn't say Af Al Pi Kein, and he didn't insist on paying me back. So he went to Abba Bar Menyumi or Abba Bar Marta, and Amar Le Amtis Le Zuze. Go bring him the money. Oh, Amtis Le Zuze Lamar. Go bring him the money. So Amar Le Amtis Le Zuze Lamar. Did you bring the money to Mar? Amar Le in. He said, yeah, Amar Le Umay Amar Lecha. What did he tell you? Amar Le Meshamitani. He said, oh, Meshamitani. Amar Le Va Amrit Le Af Al Pi Kein. Did you say Af Al Pi Kein? Amar Le, lo, no, I didn't. Amar Le, vi Amrit Le Af Al Pi Kein, avi shaklina minach. Had you said Af Al Pi Kein, still I insist on paying you back, he would have accepted the money from you. Hashta miyam tinun ele, go bring him the money now. Veimele Af Al Pi Kein, and go tell him Af Al Pi Kein. Azalam tinun ele, he went and he gave him back the money. Vermele Af Al Pi Kein, and said, even though you told me that Shemitah's Meshamet, still I want to pay you back. So shaklinu mine, and then he accepted the money. Amar lohave beidaita behait serva mirabana meikara. And Rabba was stupefied that Abba Bar Marta didn't have the common sense. He didn't know the whole Maimer Chazal, that even after the Malva says Meshametani, the Lova is still supposed to say Af Al Pi Kein, that he had to be instructed by Abaye. Some Rav Yudam Rav Nachman, Nemana de Lomar, Prusbol Hoy Biyodi Vaba Mimeni. That a person is believed to say, I had a Prusbol and I lost it, even if he can't present the Prusbol. My time, keeping the Kina Rabbanan Prusbol, Lo Shavei Keter Vachli Sura. Because it's so easy. Everybody knows, every Shemitah year, before the end of Shemitah, they go around, there's a Prusbol lying around in Shul. It's very easy to collect, it's very easy to sign a Prusbol. And therefore, there's no way that if a person had the ability to sign a Prusbol and to get a Prusbol, he would go without a Prusbol. So he's believed to say that he had one and he lost it. In fact, when somebody would come before Rav to collect a loan and didn't present the Shtar Prusbol, Rava would actually ask him, oh, did you have a Prusbol that you lost? Meaning he would feed him the taina of I had a Prusbol and I lost it. Like this is the way we're allowed to feed a taina to somebody who otherwise wouldn't know how to make the appropriate taina. So, Satnan, V'chein Balchov, Shamotzi Shtar Chov, V'einimo Prusbol. Similarly, a balchov who finds a sharchov, but there is no prusbol staple to it, are elu lo yifra, that you're not allowed to get paid back. Why are you not allowed to get paid back? I thought your belief to say that you lost the prusbol. Tanoi, it's a machlokas, tatanya, motzi sharchov, tzorech sheimo, prusbol, v'chacham momrem, ein etzarech, that there is a man, the emor, who says that if you find a sharchov, the only way you get paid back is if there's a prusbol. However, the chachamim, and we paskin like the chachamim, obviously, say, ein etzarech, because you are believed to say that you lost the prusbol. Okay, ad kan, the discussion of Prusbol. Let us learn at least the next Mishnah. So, Eved Shenishpa Upido. So, you have an Eved who fell captive, and our Mishnah is talking about an Eved Kanani as distinct from an Eved Ivri. Now, the halacha would happen to apply to an Eved who's of any nationality, not only a Kanani. The reason that we refer to Avadim who are not Eved Ivri as Eved Kanani is because Noach gave his son Kanan a curse of Eved Lamo, that they should always be Avadim, and therefore we always talk about Avadim Kenanim. And we're talking about an Eved Kenani who Yisrael was Kone. Now, when Yisrael is Kone and Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani requires Mila and Tvila, and after that, he's Chayev at Mitzvahs like a woman. He's Chayev Kemitzvahs Keisha, and He's considered to be a Jew for many halachos because he is mechuyev in mitzvos to the same effect as a woman, but he's still called an Eved Kanani. So we have an Eved Kanani who was captured and then redeemed by other Jews, not by his original master. Im Lishum Eved Yishtabed. If they redeemed Im Lishum Eved, then he should be Mishabed. We're going to see tomorrow in the Gemara who exactly is he Mishubed to. Who does he work for? Does he work for the first master or the second master? Im Lishum Ben Chorin Lo Yishtabed. If they redeemed him, Al Menas, that he be a Ben Chorin, then he is not going to have to work. Rabbi Shim Megamliel Omer Ben Kach Ben Kach Yishtabed. Regardless of the intent of the redeemers, regardless of whether they intended to redeem him, to free him, or whether they redeemed him so that he should work, Rabbi Shim Gamliel says he always has to work. We're going to see this is a takana of Rabbi Shim Gamliel. We're going to see who he has to work for to be continued in the Gemara tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.